and the continued bone-on-bone movement cause more damage? Or can I continue to hold off on the surgery until the pain becomes worse? J.M. Answer. Most people are very satisfied with the results of their joint replacement surgeries, both knee and hip. Over 90% of patients continue to work and have no pain or complications 15 years postoperatively. But that leaves some people with worse outcomes. Delaying surgery does not make surgery appreciably more difficult. However, the most common feedback I get from my patients who have undergone hip replacement surgery is that they wish they had it done sooner. Almost 60% of hip replacements last 25 years. A less than perfect result on one side does not necessarily mean you will have a bad outcome on the second side as well. To your good health, Dr. Keith Roach. Roach's column appears Tuesdays through Saturdays. Readers may write him at P.O. Box 536-475, Orlando, Florida, 32853-6475.
Now, here's your forecast for the Midland-Odessa area. It's 55 and clear. Tonight, clear with a low in the upper 40s. Then, tomorrow, clear with a high in the mid-60s. Tomorrow night, clear with a low in the low 50s. From the Recording Library of West Texas 24-Hour Weather Center, I'm Maria Lopez.
This is the Recording Library of West Texas. It's 1 p.m.
This program is made available to the IAAIS program share and was recorded at the audio reading service of the Ellen County Public Library in Fort Wayne, Indiana, for people with print impairments.
Welcome. This is Healthy Life, and I'm your reader, Tony Ray, with the audio reading service at the Allen County Public Library in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Today I'll be reading from Health Magazine, and I'll begin with a few topics in the section of mine called Warm-Up. Check you later. Putting off projects went viral on TikTok with users filming themselves delegating draining tasks to future me, a better equipped self who'll figure it out. While that may be okay sometimes, hey, you know yourself best, there may be other points when you just need to get it done. Delaying is often a coping strategy linked to feeling that comes with a tough mask. And those will still be there later, says Tim Sickle, PhD, an associate professor of psychology at Carleton University in Ottawa and author of Solving the Procrastination Puzzle. He provides a few steps to handle the habit. Number one, do. Schedule. Jot down your plan to go for a run or organize your kitchen. It'll make it more real, especially if your schedule has been a little less defined during the pandemic. As an incentive, work in rewards such as watching an episode of a show once you're done. Another idea, it's called don't go big. If the whole project feels overwhelming, focus on a low-stakes item that still moves it forward, like sending an email. This takes the attention off your emotions and puts it into the action, says Sickle. Then take a stab at another tiny to-do. Then another one, then another one. Way to go, present you. Strap in. Add to your arm party with a piece that delivers more than just stylish vibes. Faithful fans of beaded anxiety bracelets say the strung together pink quartz, turquoise, amethyst, and or other stones helps them relieve stress and anxiety. The how is rooted in Chinese medicine. The beads supposedly apply pressure to points said to be to release happy, healing chemicals, kind of like acupuncture. For your information, there's no published evidence that these work, but experts say they're harmless. Use a reminder to stay calm and recenter, says Nina Ellis Herbie, PhD, a psychologist in Texas. But they shouldn't be your only go-to for anxiety. That's what therapy is for. Well, here's a couple hashtag W threads. Let it go. Say bye-bye to all those downer thoughts that live rent-free in your brain. Studies show that the more you ruminate, the higher your risk for mental woe. In her new book, Your Fully Charged Life, author Megan Murphy, content director at Women's Health, Sister Mag's Women's Day, shows you how to push past obsessing and into positivity. Two snippets to make you smile. Reroute your brain. You have the power to reframe the things that scare you. Those coached to think of giving a speech as a challenge, not a threat, got an energy boost that helped them complete the task, per a study in mindfulness. Can you approach your next presentation as something that makes you feel better? Bet so. And switch it up. Murphy's psyche-shifting technique. Yes, but phrases muddled through meetings. Yes, but you aced in your intro. Scared you injured yourself on that last lift. Yes, but you've gotten so much stronger since the last training. Recognize that it's awful, then try to find one of those things about it that it's at least makes it all right. Try the yes, but. Cuddle buddy. Nothing's wrong with sleeping in your old college t-shirt. In fact, you may sleep better when you're wrapped in a scent of a loved one, says research in Psychology Science. For the 2020 study, more than 150 people made a makeshift pillowcase of a tea that had either been used by their partner, donned by a stranger, or not worn at all. Peeps believed they slept better with their partner's scent, and they did indeed toss and turn less, as recorded by the sleep trackers. Say it with us now. Aww. One in five. Every woman wants to fall head over heels in love with her birth control. Sadly, that's not our reality. One in five birth control users said they'd switch if costs weren't an issue. A study in Contraception X revealed. Finding birth control you like requires trial and error accessibility, says OBGYN Jessica Shepherd, MD, a Women's Health Advisor board member. Planned Parenthood is your bread and butter stop for less costly BC, insurance or not, says Dr. Shepherd. But telehealth companies like Nurtrex and Pandia Health and HERS can hook you up with a cheap RX too. And hospitals and med schools often offer free IUDs and implants, so give them a call. And how about chewing on this? With all the changes your body goes through during pregnancy, larger breasts, intense craving, swelling feet, what's happening with your pearly whites probably doesn't get much thought. But your mouth undergoes a major transition when you're growing a baby, all thanks to fluctuating hormones, says Sonia Krasinalovich, DDS, at Dental House. The first trimester, try to embrace a less abrasive pace for sensitive mouths. Your gums are more easily irritated now, so you'll feel pain after brushing, even if you've never used to. Plus, these formulas are easier on enamel, which can take a hit if you've got morning sickness. The second trimester, hormonal changes cause inflammation, which means plaque might be building up by now. Flossing morning and night before you brush, and don't freak if your sink gets a little bloody. Even if you're an avid flosser, your gums are likely to bleed, but they'll go back to normal afterwards. And the third trimester, late pregnancy heartburn is a thing. Oil pulling, swishing coconut oil in your mouth for 5 minutes after brushing is an idea to help. Could help reduce damage by coating teeth with a slippery barrier that may prevent acid from sticking. It's worth a shot. I'm going to read a story called Clear the Air by Nicole Blades. With chronic respiratory conditions on the rise in women, it's time to give your lungs a little love and make it a point to breathe easy for the long haul. You've got this. Just breathe. You've likely heard that advice a lot recently. And while focusing on your inhalations is useful when you need to calm down, taking a proper breath is easier said than done, especially in the world that is hard on lungs. COVID-19 brought air-filled organs to the forefront of our minds, as some coronavirus patients have faced long-term respiratory damage. But lung health has been a growing concern for docs for reasons besides that. Chronic respiratory disorders are on the rise in women. Here's one case study. There are more. Over the past 42 years, lung cancer rate in women has jumped 84% per the American Lung Association. Smoking is still the primary cause, but the number of never smokers developing the disease is increasing. Researchers suspect that biologically women may be more susceptible to this cancer and that a history of certain infections like HPV and pollution could be contributing. Air pollution causes an estimated 7 million deaths every year, says Roe Ann Arora, a climate activist and ALA advisor, and nearly half of all Americans are breathing unhealthy air. The reassuring part, a few tweaks to your habits can dramatically improve your lung health and protect you from factors you can't control. How to breathe better ahead. The first idea is all around air. Where you take the majority of your breaths matters. Your lungs are at the mercy of your environment, says Jamie Garfield, MD, an associate professor of thoracic medicine and surgery at Lewis Kratz School of Medicine at Temple University. They are constantly exposed to whatever pollution is around you. When you live in and or visit places with large amounts of environmental pollutants, carbon monoxide, black carbon, smog, and tiny particles like soot, industrial chemicals, and dust, your lungs have to work overtime, which could lead to chronic diseases like asthma, bronchitis, emphysema, and lung cancer. One of the best things you can do to preserve lung health is to minimize your interaction with pollution as much as possible. That means avoiding smoke, says from cigarettes and forest fires, mold, especially after severe weather, gases from cleaning products, emissions and smog, and radon. If you're an outdoor workout girl in an urban area, exercise in spaces where there's less vehicle traffic and fewer factories. Also check the air quality in your area on sites like airnow.gov or apps such as Plume Labs and Breathe Air Quality Index, and work out in the outdoors on days with bad air quality. And work out indoors on days with bad air quality. Those face masks you've been wearing during the epidemic and pandemic, they're actually going to help to decrease unwanted particles you breathe in. Dust dilemma. Be aware of air quality inside too. Dust mites, pet dander, and mold can lurk in your home and trigger allergies, asthma, or worsen existing respiratory symptoms. You can keep the buildup of these particles to a minimum by washing your bed sheets in hot water at least once a week and vacuuming or damp mopping frequently. Wearing a mask while you clean also provides protection from chemicals and dust. Other smart moves: toss any moldy thing that can't be cleansed. Reconsider long drapes and curtains to help reduce the surfaces where dust mites like to gather. And break the news to your fur babies that they're banned from your bed. Number 3. Your lungs play an essential role in keeping you strong, but you don't think much about them until you experience problems. Exercising is a key way to make sure they stay in shape. National guidelines push for 150 to 300 minutes weekly of moderate cardio or 75 to 150 high-intensity work. That could look like a 30-minute fast-paced run Monday and Tuesday, a 60-minute power walk Wednesday, and another fast half-hour run Thursday, and an hour of tennis on Friday, with two rest days and two strength training workouts folded into each week. As you become more physically fit, your body is more effective at getting oxygen into your blood and getting it into the parts your body needs it. Regular exercise can also clear mucus from the lungs. Posture is power. Thanks in large part to more remote work, people are sitting more and for longer stretches. When parking it, you take shallow breaths instead of deeper ones. Poor posture has us scrunched with our muscles and abs tight. Your lungs can't expand properly, so straighten up. Take breaths from sitting at least once an hour to stretch. And do pectoral and cat stretches often with your chest so you can take deeper breaths. When working out, focus on exercises like Superman, which fire up your posterior chain, the back muscles that keep you from rounding forward. The combo of flexibility work and resistance training will improve your posture and in turn your breathing. And you'll need to work on strengthening the abs to sit straight. Ab workouts equal breathing benefits. Here for that. Sighs of relief. You think you know how to breathe since you do it all day long. But we only use 50 to 60% of our lung capacity on a normal inhalation. When you take a proper breath, you open lower areas of the lungs and bump up that percentage. To get closer to max capacity, practice belly breathing. Here's how to do it. Sit or lie flat in a comfortable position. Put one hand on your lower belly and other on your chest. Inhale deeply through your nose, expanding your belly so it pushes out and lifts your hand. Breathe out through your mouth or purse your lips as if blowing through a straw, letting your chest fall and drawing your ab muscles into your spine. Do 3 to 10 reps 3 or 4 times a day. So if you used to smoke, maybe it was part of a too cool phase in college, or you spent time around a smoker in the past, no judgment here, but you should listen to your body even more now. Lung damage caused by smoking does not always show up in symptoms or on medical tests until it's more severe, says Dr. Winter. But if you're experiencing shortness of breath or chronic cough, let your doctor know. They may recommend pulmonary function tests, which help detect lung decline from smoking or other causes. Pulmonologists and health pros will also tell you to avoid putting only tar, soot, toxins that come from smoking or vaping into your sacs. If you use cannabis to manage anxiety or pain, consider edibles, tinctures, oils, or gummies. They don't impact your lungs at all. Oh, and if you were a smoker, once you stop, your rate of lung decline significantly improves. And that is big time praise. Virtual Reality, a story by Allison Goldman. Where do you go when you feel scared, confused, and lonely after a life-altering diagnosis? For many people, the answer is online. Meet 9 self-starters who use social media and digital tools to seek solutions in communities they couldn't find elsewhere. We take the wide world of web, the World Wide Web, for granted, no doubt, as many of us log on during most of our waking hours for work or mindlessly scroll as we're hunkered down on the couch. But for some, online communities are one of the only resources for valuable human connection, and they can truly save lives. When you're dealing with a rare or misunderstood health issue, these groups provide access to support from people going through something similar. A digital space to search, question, cry, and laugh, it might be what helps you not only survive but thrive. The first one comes from Brooke Abbott, 37, Motherhood a Warrior. She says, no one could prepare me for being a sick mom. The first time I saw my son crawl, he was about 6 months old and moving across my hospital bed. It was 2010, and I had been diagnosed with ulcerative colitis, an inflammatory bowel disease, 20 months before he was born. I was in the hospital for a flare-up, and that was the moment I realized how different motherhood was going to be for me. I was hospitalized again in 2012, after which I had my colon removed. And up until that surgery, my colitis was not manageable. I was run down and nauseous, losing weight rapidly. But after the colon removed, I felt as if I had been given the opportunity to live. To start, I turned to writing. I'd recently begun a blog, The Crazy Creole Mommy Chronicles, to cover motherhood, politics, and other passions for fun. At my mother's encouragement, I was told my colitis story here. It was cathartic. I started to make IBD coverage more of a regular thing, trying products that could work for moms with it. I decided to make this my life's work. In 2018, I told another woman in my boat named Amber that I wanted to have a platform to offer moms general IBD information, but also lifestyle advice. We started monthly Twitter chats via @IBDMoms. Now we have a website, IBDMoms.org, and multiple social platforms. IBD Moms has helped me too, as I navigate life with condition, and I've realized how much of a difference the community can make early on. With more info to start, I probably would have been on a better treatment, plan sooner and accumulated less guilt over skipping activities with my son due to my health. I wouldn't have felt like an odd person out. Claire Sidman, 44, a data collector, said, I felt like I was told, okay, you have a brain tumor, now go home. I was diagnosed with a rare non-malignant brain tumor called a colloid cyst 10 years ago in the emergency room. As frightening as the description might sound, I only had 5-minute consults with a neurologist and a neurosurgeon and was told that I'd have further appointments for an MRI to go over everything in more detail. I left with many questions bouncing around in my mind. I went online and within a day or two found a Facebook group for this specific type of tumor. After a serious diagnosis, the ability to chat with people from all over the world at the drop of a hat, it's tremendous, especially when you have questions that pop into your head in the middle of the night. After undergoing brain surgery to remove the tumor, I struggled with the recovery, including short-term memory loss. I ended up reaching out to see if anyone in the group would do a questionnaire about symptoms and quality of life with and without surgery. I took the answers to my neurosurgeon at St. Johns Hopkins. Together we redid the survey, which suggested that patients who'd had the colloid cyst removed did have improved quality of life compared with those who didn't. These findings gave me hope and were published in a peer-reviewed journal. Participants were excited to provide information for patients, caregivers, and also medical experts. That's the power of online connection. Kelsey Nordstrom, 28, Connection Champion, said these words saved my life. I see you. I believe you. I must have seen 10 doctors over 2 years in my 20s for awful periods. They all told me the same thing. My stress was causing this pain. I started doing research and came across the term endometriosis for the first time. The symptoms sounded like mine, I thought. I'm going to talk directly to other people who have this and see what their symptoms are like. So in June of 2014, I made an Instagram page to document the good, the bad, the ugly, and by then I was fairly positive I had endo, but had yet to receive a diagnosis. I started the account to connect others trying to find the answers. In August of 2014, I finally found a surgeon who specialized in this and believed me, and I had a laparoscopic surgery during which they found endometriosis and removed it. I'm not sure I would have had the strength to go through the surgery if I didn't have my community. I used to feel like such a burden to my now husband and suffered from low thoughts. But making the At Endo Strong page, messaging with others, having somebody say, I see you, I believe you, I'm with you, those words saved my life. Well, that's all the time we have for today. This has been Toni Ray with Healthy Life. I hope you've enjoyed today's reading from the audio reading service at the Allen County Public Library in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Now, here's your forecast for the Midland-Odessa area. It's 58 and clear. Tonight, clear with a low in the upper 40s. Then, tomorrow, clear with a high in the mid-60s. Tomorrow night, clear with a low in the low 50s. From the Recording Library of West Texas 24-Hour Weather Center, I'm Maria Lopez.
This is the Recording Library of West Texas.
This program is intended for a print-impaired audience and is brought to you by the Georgia Radio Reading Service, GARS. Hello, I am Morgan Mallon, bringing you Martha Stewart Living. I'll be reading from the March 2021 print edition of Martha Stewart Living magazine. The first story is Fresh Rituals, text by Claire Sullivan, recipes by Lauren Tyrell. A festive Passover meal doesn't have to cause a ruckus in the kitchen or leave you scrambling to serve it. Our herb-coated beef tenderloin and creamy garlic aioli require a little hands-on time, and you can enjoy the main and its sides, spiced matzah and a nutty salad, at room temperature. With a little prep, you'll be good to gather. The menu: herb-coated beef tenderloin with roasted garlic aioli, dandelion, red onion, and walnut salad, and salt and pepper matzah. The main course: herb-coated beef tenderloin with roasted garlic aioli. Pregnant women, young children, and others avoiding raw eggs should skip the aioli. For this recipe, you will need 2 heads garlic, 3 tablespoons extra virgin olive oil, 1 large egg, 4 teaspoons fresh lemon juice, kosher salt and freshly ground pepper, 3/4 to 1 cup vegetable oil, 1 center cut beef tenderloin, 3 pounds, trimmed and tied, 1 cup each packed fresh dill, cilantro, and parsley leaves. Step 1. Preheat oven to 400 degrees. Trim tops of garlic by about a half inch. Place in parchment-length foil and drizzle with 1 tablespoon olive oil. Wrap to seal and roast until soft, 1 hour. Unwrap and let cool completely. 2. Slip garlic cloves out of their jackets and into a blender. Blend with egg, lemon juice, a half teaspoon salt, and an 1/8 teaspoon pepper until smooth. With motor running, slowly stream in 3/4 cup vegetable oil until thick and smooth. If too thin, add up to 1/4 more oil. Refrigerate in an airtight container at least 30 minutes and up to 3 days. Season to taste before serving. 3. Place beef on a rack set in a rimmed baking sheet. Season generously with salt and pepper. Refrigerate uncovered at least 4 hours and up to overnight. Preheat oven to 275 degrees. Pat beef dry. Brush with remaining 2 tablespoons olive oil. Transfer to a roasting pan or large oven-proof skillet, such as cast iron. Roast until a thermometer inserted in center reads 125 degrees for medium rare, 60 to 65 minutes. Tent with foil. Let stand 15 minutes. 4. Finely chop herbs on a large cutting board and spread out in an even layer. Untie roast and roll in herbs, pressing to coat. Transfer to a serving platter, slice, and serve with aioli. Active time 25 minutes. Total time 5 hours, 45 minutes. Serves 6 to 8. On the side, salt and pepper matzah. Brush matzah with extra virgin olive oil, season with flaky sea salt, freshly ground pepper, and spices such as dried thyme and sumac, optional. Bake on a rimmed baking sheet at 450 degrees until warmed through, 3 to 4 minutes. Dandelion, red onion, and walnut salad. Preheat oven to 450 degrees. Drizzle 3 small red onions, cut into 1-inch thick rounds, with extra virgin olive oil. Season with kosher salt and freshly ground pepper. Place on one side of a baking sheet. Mash one small minced garlic clove and a pinch of salt with the side of a knife to form a paste. Toss half a cup walnut halves with 1 tablespoon oil and garlic paste. Season, spread on the other side of sheet, and roast until nuts are toasted, 5 to 6 minutes. Transfer nuts to a cutting board. Let cool slightly. Meanwhile, flip onions and continue roasting until just tender, 9 to 12 minutes more. Chop nuts, tossed with the zest of 1 lemon, 1/2 teaspoon red pepper flakes, and a pinch of flaky sea salt. Pile 4 cups packed dandelion greens on a platter. Drizzle with 1 tablespoon each oil and lemon juice, and season with flaky salt. Top with onions, sprinkle with nut mixture, and serve. In our library, Living's Food Team references these cookbooks for standout Jewish recipes year-round. The Jewish Cookbook. Leah Koenig's 500-page tome is a total classic, says Deputy Food Editor Greg Lofts. It has excellent accessible recipes like egg noodles and a challah-inspired pumpkin bread. From Phaidon, 2019. Shook. From Market to Table, the Heart of Israeli Home Cooking. Israeli chef Ana Edmoni and her co-author, Jana Gur, tour the shuks, or markets, from which they pull inspiration for their bright, simple dishes, says food director Sarah Carey, from Workman, 2019. The Book of Jewish Food. Filled with stories and recipes from around the world, Claudia Roden's book is Sarah's passport to Passover ideas. The 6-ingredient walnut and orange cake is a favorite. From Nope, 1996. That story was Fresh Rituals, text by Claire Sullivan, recipes by Lauren Tyrell. The next story is Good Things, Fresh Ideas to Elevate the Everyday. Quick Comfort, text by Lisa Butterworth. Some days call for a meal that soothes as much as it satisfies. That's when this 20-minute mac and cheese cheat from Living Deputy Food Editor Greg Loft swoop us in. He cooks pasta and broccoli in the same pot, then drains them and stirs them together with reserved pasta water, cream cheese, butter, and parm for the sauce. One carbolicious bite and all your cares will melt away. Cheater's Mac and Cheese. Replacing a traditional bechamel sauce with cream cheese, which melts almost instantly, makes this recipe ultra speedy. Feel free to swap in other vegetables, such as fresh or frozen cauliflower florets or peas, for the broccoli. This recipe calls for 4 ounces short pasta, such as penne, kosher salt and freshly ground black pepper, optional, 1.5 cups fresh or frozen broccoli florets, 2.5 ounces cream cheese, 1/3 cup, 1 tablespoon unsalted butter, 1/2 ounce Parmigiano Reggiano, finely grated, 1/3 cup, plus more for serving. Step 1. Cook pasta in a pot of generously salted boiling water, 2 minutes less than per package instructions. Reserve 1 cup pasta water and cover to keep warm. Add broccoli to pot. Continue boiling until pasta is al dente and broccoli is bright green, 1 to 2 minutes more. Drain. Return pot to medium heat. Add cream cheese, butter, and 2/3 cup reserved pasta water. Cook, stirring until mixture is smooth and simmering. Remove from heat. Stir in pasta, broccoli, and Parmigiano Reggiano. Step 2. Toss with more pasta water, as needed, until sauce clings to pasta. Serve with more Parmigiano and black pepper. Active time 10 minutes, total time 20 minutes, serves 2. More cozy go-tos. Senior food editor Lauren Tyrell stirs butter and tamari into soba noodles. Food director Sarah Carey adds tahini, hot sauce, soy sauce, and sesame oil to brown rice. And for breakfast or a snack, assistant food editor Riley Wofford slathers toasted whole wheat sourdough with butter, slicing it extra thick so the insides stay soft. Pots of Luck. You don't have to be rolling in clover to appreciate its natural beauty. Instead, welcome St. Patrick's Day with a centerpiece full of four-leaf potential. Tuck a few of the easy-to-care-for perennials, which are readily available at garden centers from spring through early fall, and an equally low-maintenance oxalis, a.k.a. purple leaf shamrock, into terracotta pots. Both varieties will work their magic long past March. Just add sunshine and water. Martha Stewart Living used a mossed redstone standard clay pots. These are brown clay pots. They are showed in 2 different sizes. There is a bigger one that is holding the purple leaf shamrock, and then two smaller ones near it that are holding the perennials. These are $4 each for the 4-inch by 3-inch at jamaligarden.com. That's JamaliGarden.com. Next to the pots is a Tory Burch Wazoo salad plate in green. It is a circular white plate that has green along the edges, and the edges are grooved, and the center of the plate has green leaves and flowers painted on it. It is $148 for four at torybirch.com. That's TORYBURCH.com. And along with the plate, they have a Sfera Festival napkin in willow. It is a very, very light mint green color. It is $57 for four at Sfera.com. That's S-F-E-R-R-A.com. Sip and repeat, a Celtic splash. To skip the green beer, but not the cheer, enjoy a drink on the Shamrocks. Fill each mold of an ice cube tray halfway with boiled, cooled water. This removes the dissolved gases and bubbles so you can get crystal clear blocks. And top each with a clover. Freeze long enough to set the leaf, about 2 hours, and then top with more boiled and cooled water, freeze overnight, and pop out. There are no Blarney Stone, but these festive rocks may still grant the gift of the gab, especially if they're chilling some Irish whiskey. Instant upgrade. This end up. Binder clips can serve a whole new purpose when you flip them onto their flat side. In a pinch, you have an instant holder. Gold-toned ones are especially display-worthy. Martha Stewart Living uses Memento the Explorer journal binder clips. They are a bright gold binder clip that they are using on their flat side to hold up different recipes. These are $4 for three at dickblick.com. That's DICKBLICK.com. It's a smart solution for propping up to-do lists and photos. Not to mention hands-free recipe reading, no screen to refresh either. Rescue and revamp. Shining examples. On a pink cloth, there are a variety of different knobs and door knockers. There's two door knockers. One is just silver, and the other is gold, and it has a very intricate design on it of just different lines and leaves. There is a keyhole. It is rectangular, also gold, and it has an imprinted design on it of, again, just different line patterns and little flowers. And there are a handful of different doorknobs. There's a gold one that has like flower petals all around it. There is a bronze one that also has flower petals all around it. There is a silver octagon shaped one, a silver rounded one, a brown circular one that has a flower design on it. There is a bronze circular knob that has flecks of green, blue, and white all throughout it. There is another circular gold one. This is more of a faded gold, and there is a raised circle in the middle of it. And then another gold one that again has flower petals all throughout it. There's no need to come unhinged at the sight of tarnished or painted over knobs or door knockers. Just unscrew them, or scout out bargain prices at a flea market, and step up to the platter. We sent these to Metal Man Restoration in Mount Vernon, New York. That's mmresto.com, spelt mmresto.com, where each were stripped, bead blasted to give it a uniform surface, sanded, and polished to a mirror shine, then ultrasonically cleaned of compounds and oils, rinsed, etched, and covered with our choice of copper, nickel, brass, or chrome. Brand new finish, same original well-made design. Now that's a hardware home run. Clutter control, catch of the day. You can tackle a lot more than lures with these sturdy boxes. The compartments that make them indispensable to fishermen will win over neatniks and collectors too, especially the kind who thrill at sorting their stuff by color, shape, or job. Fill them with items you don't want to get mixed up, from jewelry, buttons, and beads, to picture hanging tools, paper clips and push pins, cake icing tips, and the extra yarn that comes with sweaters. In other words, all those little essentials that get tangled up or lost in a drawer. And did we mention they're great for marbles and tiny Legos? Yes, we are hooked. Martha Stewart Living is using a Plano Pro-Latch fixed compartment stowaway box for $9. This is a smaller white box that has a clear lid. The box is filled with a bunch of different size but small compartments. One box is filled with jewelry and buttons and push pins, and the other is filled entirely with buttons. And a Pro-Latch 3500 stowaway tackle box for $5. This is a larger compartment. It is entirely clear, and one side, the left side of the box, it has a bunch of small uniform size compartments that are filled with nails. And then to the right of the box is one large rectangular compartment that is holding a hammer, a pencil, and a level. Both are found at dickssportinggoods.com. That's dickssportinggoods.com. That story was Good Things, Fresh Ideas to Elevate the Everyday, text by Lisa Butterworth. The next story is Fresh Starts, Choose Your Own Adventure. Refreshing, filling, and oh so sippable, a smoothie is the page turner of breakfast foods. To blend something novel every day of the week, pick from each row of this chart by Living Assistant Food Editor Riley Wofford and Nutritionist Vicky Shanta Retelny, RDN. We guarantee you'll love the ending. From the first row of the chart, produce. Leafy greens. Grab some spinach or romaine. Both are full of fiber, vitamins, and minerals, but also have a subtler taste than other greens. Berries. They burst with flavor and antioxidants, especially wild blueberries. We love frozen ones for the icy texture and ease. Bananas. Freeze browning ones with the peel on, then thaw slightly and peel to use. They thicken and sweeten any combo. Melon. It's sweet and fiber-rich, but clashes with nuts. Try cantaloupe or honeydew with labneh or kefir, turmeric, and honey. On row 2 of the chart, dairy. Cow's milk or yogurt. Calcium and vitamin D, double check. Opt for fuller fat varieties to feel satiated till lunchtime. Alternative milks. Pour your go-to as long as it's unsweetened. Riley likes Oatly oat milk for $5 at Target.com. That's TARGET.com. Kefir. This tangy, savory fermented milk drink is packed with gut health supporting probiotics. Labneh. A great alternative thickener to bananas. It's a soft, tart, ultra rich yogurt cheese. On row 3 of the chart, protein. Nut butter. A tablespoon or two has all the nutritional benefits of whole nuts, but it's nice and smooth. Skin on nuts. Pistachios, almonds, and hazelnuts contain healthy fats and protein that'll help keep you full. Protein powder. A scoop helps counteract fruit's natural sugars by stabilizing insulin levels. Retelny likes Vega brand at myvega.com. That's myvega.com. Silken tofu. A few spoonfuls can add calcium and boost creaminess. Plus, it tastes so mild, you won't notice the addition. And on row 4 of the chart, extras. Natural sweeteners. Drizzle in raw honey or pure maple syrup. They have a lower glycemic index than refined sugar. Seeds. Add a tablespoon of chia, ground flax, or hemp. It's an undetectable way to sneak in loads of fiber. Spices. A hefty pinch of anti-inflammatory cinnamon or turmeric, or fresh ginger to taste, will provide a big dose of flavor. Cocoa powder. Antioxidants make the unsweetened kind good for you. Blend with a banana, peanut butter, or any milk, or tofu. That story was Fresh Starts, Choose Your Own Adventure. The next story is Sourdough School. Text by Michelle Shee, created by Sophie Herbert Slater and Sarah Carey. Martha has baked more French bread, croissants, and brioche than most people, but she'd never used last year's surprise breakout star, Wild Yeast. For that, she invited her niece, Sophie Herbert Slater, a self-taught expert on the subject, to give us a primer. Don't know your levain from your autolyse? Not to worry. From creating and feeding a starter to baking a magnificent boule, this seminar starts now. Martha knows croissants. That's beyond dispute. So when she first tried her niece Sophie Herbert Slater's sourdough version, she knew there was something special. I tasted one the day after they were baked, and I liked it better than the first day, Martha said. and they were good even the day after that. I was shocked, in a wonderful way. Loyal readers of this magazine may remember Sophie as a child pictured in holiday stories. Now she's a counselor and art therapist living in Easton, Connecticut, a married mom of two, and an enthusiastic sourdough baker. When the pandemic hit and she paused her work, that passion filled a void. I loved being home with my kids, but I needed to feel a sense of agency, Sophie says. She makes fresh bread for her family twice a week and thought others might like to try it too. I reached out to a few neighbors and they said, "We'll buy bread from you." Then she concocted those glorious croissants using the same basic ingredients that go into her sourdough bread, along with butter, milk, and sugar. People started ordering them weekly. Then a friend who owns Sport Hill Farm in Easton suggested she set up a table at their market, and bam, she was selling out of 150 croissants in a few hours every Sunday. Last spring, Sophie also inspired Martha to try her hand at sourdough, and even gave her a starter. "My first loaves were excellent. Then I killed my starter," Martha says with a laugh. But that only gave aunt and niece more reason to bond over bread and life. "Did Sophie tell you about the orphanage she helped found in India?" Martha asks. "She does good, and her lovely personality extends into her baking." Says Sophie, "She still teaches me so much. The other day, I told her the croissant tips sometimes unfurl during baking, and she said, 'The problem is you're not turning them down and tucking them under.' It seems so basic now, but that's why she's Martha." Learn the lingo. Starter. A mix of active wild yeast and bacteria used to leaven sourdough bread. You can create your own, get some from a friend, or buy it. King Arthur Baking Company sells a reliable one. Levain, French for sourdough. In our recipes, the levain is the first step. A specific amount of starter flour and water is mixed together, left to ferment overnight, then used completely in the baking process. Autolyze. A noun and a verb, this is a method in which you incorporate flour and a liquid, usually water, into the levain and let it rest. This helps the gluten develop, so the dough stretches more easily and your bread has more volume. Sponge. This is a looser autolyse, essentially, created by adding a lower proportion of flour to liquid to the levain. Sophie uses a sponge in her croissant recipe. Laminate. A verb meaning to fold and roll out dough that's been wrapped around butter for flaky pastry like danishes and croissants. Four FAQs. What is sourdough? It's a dough that uses wild yeast instead of commercially produced yeast to rise. Its flavor varies depending on the wild yeast in your starter. It can taste tangy from the natural fermentation or nutty and sweet. Why do you feed the starter? Most home bakers keep theirs in the fridge, which slows down the yeast and bacteria growth, a good thing. You will still need to feed it flour and water, once a week typically, to keep it alive. When you're ready to bake, think of a starter like a pet. The goal is to get it lively again, so feed it a certain amount that brings it to that happy place overnight. Why do you discard some of the starter when you feed it? The larger your pet gets, the more food it needs, but you want to keep it small so it won't overtake your fridge. Unless you bake every day, you'll have extra, which you can either compost or use to replace some of the flour and liquid in recipes like pancakes, crackers, or banana bread and cookies. Why do you need to fold the dough by hand every 30 minutes? It's a gentle way to give the gluten time to develop and build the air pockets that are part of a good loaf. An electric mixer is too rough for this step. Sourdough, step by step. Enlist this process for our boule, croissant, and focaccia recipes. 1. Feed the starter. Adding flour and water wakes it up and makes the yeast and bacteria in it grow and multiply. When it's lively, bubbly, and fed, it's ready for baking. 2. Make the levain. Adding a certain amount of flour and water to a measured amount of starter, then letting it sit out to ferment, usually overnight, deepens the end flavor. 3. Prehydrate dough. This is your autolyzed sponge step. Add more flour and liquid and let rest briefly. This fully hydrates the flour and helps the gluten develop. 4. Fold it. Forget all the kneading. In sourdough baking, time in contact with water and folding build the gluten, so several rounds of gentle folding will suffice. 5. Proof it. This is the final rise before baking. You know dough is properly proofed when you poke a finger into it and the indentation holds or reflattens very slowly. Now for the full sourdough starter recipe. This recipe, adapted from Artisan Brian at artisanbrian.com, that's artisanbrian.com, calls for a combination of flours. The rye flour helps speed up the process. Once the starter is established, you can continue to feed with a mix or transition to entirely white flour, as we do. Note that you don't add any yeast yourself. Instead, you allow the wild yeast present in the flour to develop over time. To ensure your starter is ready to bake with, always feed it a day before you plan to mix your levain. If you are very confident it's lively enough, it has reliably doubled in volume after feeding and is stretchy and webby, you can replace the levain in the following recipes with fed starter equal in weight to the parts of the levain combined. For this recipe, you'll need 100 grams organic rye flour, 200 grams unbleached organic all-purpose or bread flour, plus more for feeding, and lukewarm water. Step 1. Mix together both flours. Measure 45 grams flour mixture, about a quarter cup, setting the rest aside. Place in a bowl or container. We use a quart takeout container so it's easy to watch grow. Add a scant quarter cup lukewarm water, 45 grams, and mix until it creates a thick batter. Keep at room temperature, covered with a kitchen towel. 2. Repeat feedings of 45 grams each water and flour mixture once a day at the same time, mixing with a rubber spatula for 4 days. In the beginning, you won't notice much movement. By the end, the starter should appear lively, with a bubbly appearance. 3. On the 5th day, switch to entirely white flour and water, and start feeding twice, once in the morning and once at night. At first, you may smell some strong, not very pleasant smells, but eventually the starter will smell nutty and a little sour, but pleasant. Once it ferments, predictably rises, doubling in volume and creating a porous, webby-looking mixture after feedings, it is ready to use. This took us about 7 days. From this point, refrigerate your starter completely covered with the container lid. 4. Start a regular feeding schedule, at least once or twice a week. For each feed, to maintain a large starter, remove all but 100 grams. Discard the rest or use for another purpose, such as our banana bread and cookies. And add 100 grams each all-purpose flour and water. To maintain a smaller starter, remove 40 grams, discarding or using the rest, and feed with 40 grams each all-purpose flour and water. In the latter case, you may need to build your starter up to have amounts you'll need for recipes with leftover to maintain it. Just feed without discarding for a couple of days in advance when you'll need it. Total time 1 hour, active time 1 week, mix as much as you want. Croissant class. Once your dough is rolled out to a square, it's time to laminate. Step 1. Encase the butter. Lay a rolled out mixture of butter and flour in the center of your dough square. Roll the dough corners farther out so you can drape them over it. 2. Flatten the package. Roll the dough-covered butter into an 8x24-inch rectangle. It's easiest to push the pin away from your body, Sophie says. 3. Fold it in thirds. Bring the bottom third of dough up over the middle, then pull the top third down over that. 4. Turn it 90 degrees. Repeat rolling and folding into thirds at least twice more. The goal is to keep the butter encased in the dough so it will form layers. 5. Roll out the dough. After refrigerating for at least 4 hours and up to overnight, roll out the laminated dough into a 16.5x23-inch rectangle. 6. Cut it in half lengthwise. Use a pastry or pizza wheel to trim the edges and divide the dough into 2 8x22.5-inch pieces. 7. Make triangles. Cut each half of the dough into 5 equal rectangles. Each will be 8x4.5 inches. Cut those rectangles diagonally into 20 triangles. 8. Form the crescents. Turn each triangle so the short side faces you and roll it away from you, stretching the tip out as you go. Bend each into a crescent and let rise until puffy. 9. Brush on egg wash. To create a glossy golden exterior, coat each crescent, then bake. The wash results in beautiful dark brown stripes, Martha says. That was all the time we have for that story today. That story was Sourdough School, text by Michelle Shee, created by Sophie Herbert Slater and Sarah Carey. That concludes today's readings from Martha Stewart Living. This has been Morgan Mallon for the Georgia Radio Reading Service. Thank you for listening to GARS.
Next on Recording Library of West Texas Radio, USA Today, followed by the Midland Reporter Telegram and Odessa American at 3. This week on the Recording Library of West Texas Radio's Saturday Night Movie, we continue our series of Academy Award-winning films. This year, the Academy Award ceremony is April 25th through April 24th. Each Saturday, we will air movies from each decade that won the Oscar for Best Picture. This week, we're to the 60s as we air the audio-described 1962 classic, Lawrence of Arabia, starring Peter O'Toole, Alec Guinness, Anthony Quinn, Omar Sharif, and a cast of other stars, directed by David Lean. Lawrence of Arabia was a British production, which was nominated for 10 Oscars and won 7, including Best Picture. The film is widely regarded as one of the greatest and most influential films ever made. In 1991, it was selected by the United States Library of Congress for preservation in the National Film Registry. Before that year's Oscars, it wasn't edited after its premiere and ran over 220 minutes, slightly more than 1 minute more than Gone with the Wind, therefore making it the longest movie to ever win a Best Picture Oscar, and at the time produced with an astronomical budget of $15 million. Shot on location in Jordan, Morocco, and Spain.
I deem him one of the greatest beings alive in our time. We shall never see his like again. His name will live in history. It will live in the annals of war. It will live in the legends of Arabia.
Who is he?
Victor. Tabas!
What is your name?
My name is for my friends.
None of my friends is a murderer.
For over a quarter of a century, controversy has raged around the name of T.E. Lawrence. No man of our time has drawn upon himself so much praise and so much criticism. Lawrence of Arabia, the man torn between two civilizations. Lawrence of Arabia, filmed against a canvas of awesome magnificence.
But I would like to hear his opinion.
Damn it, Lawrence, who do you take your orders from?
From Lord Faisal, in Faisal's tent.
Hailing the birth of a new star, Peter O'Toole as Lawrence of Arabia. What was he really like, this controversial figure who became a legend in his own lifetime?
He was the most extraordinary man I ever knew.
He was a very great man.
He was a poet, a scholar, and a mighty warrior. He was also the most shameless exhibitionist since Barnum and Bailey.
What, in your opinion, do these people hope to gain from this war?
They hope to gain their freedom.
There's one born every minute.
They're going to get it, Mr. Bentley. I'm going to give it to them.
Lawrence and Lorraine, together they made history. Now, a gathering of international stars unfolds the story. Alec Guinness as Prince Faisal.
The English have a great hunger for desolate places. I fear they hunger for Arabia.
Anthony Quinn as Auda Abu Taik.
I carry 23 great wounds, all got in battle. 75 men have I killed with my own hands in battle. I scatter, I burn my enemies' tents. I take away their flocks and herds. The Turks pay me a golden treasure, yet I am poor. Because I am a river. To my people!
Jack Hawkins as General Allenby.
I believe your name will be a household word when you would have to go to the War Museum to find who Allenby was.
You're the most extraordinary man I ever met.
Leave me alone.
Huh?
Leave me alone.
Jose Ferrer as the Turkish Bey.
Your skin is very fair.
Also starring Anthony Quayle. Claude Rains, Arthur Kennedy, with Omar Sharif as Ali, and Peter O'Toole as Lawrence.
The 1963 winner for Best Picture, Lawrence of Arabia, audio described, Saturday night at 7 on Recording Library of West Texas Radio.
To bring us up to time for our next regularly scheduled program, we now bring you the following informative feature.
What's Crackin' on Heel Cracking Solutions? To Your Good Health by Dr. Keith Roach. Dr. Roach writes, many readers wrote in